101.9 FM, your true diva station.
As interesting as listening to this PSA is, there's nothing quite like watching it. Watching what, you ask? The annual showcase of films that accompany it as part of the POV, or Persistence of Vision, Film Festival. This showcase of short films written, directed, shot, edited, and produced by students in the film production program at UBC happens only once a year. On April 27th and 28th, join the POV Festival at the Empire Granville 7 Cinemas in the heart of downtown Vancouver as these magnificent films are debuted. For tickets and information, visit povfilmfestival.com.
And I'm David Love Jones, and welcome to another African Rhythms. And we've got tonight from 1997, one of the best ever shows I did with Mike Ingram, as he says in the show, later on in the show. But it's a tremendously diverse show. Mike and I did a lot of special shows back in the 90s. I've brought some of them to you, but I'm particularly thrilled with this one. So let's go back, way back to 1997. David and Mike, and this will be going through right until 9 p.m. tonight, 604-822-CITR. You can get a hold of me there, citr.ca, of course. That's how you can find us online and podcast.
And that's Paul Kelly. Stealing in the name of the Lord. That was a big hit, and I think that single had been played a few times.
Yeah, just a tad, Crispy, yeah. My brother, just a tad.
Maybe you could give us a scoop on that one, Mike. I know it was a big hit, and it was kind of controversial.
Yes, indeed, very controversial. Paul Kelly, we talked on him just last show. Very, very strong and very, very forthright brother when it came to putting out his own style and doing it his way. This song really lit up a lot of churches, black churches in particular, because, you know, the church was the foundation of the black community. And for him to talk about the hypocrisy that goes on very often, and not just black churches, but all churches, but, I mean, in particular the black church, where, you know, we talk about the saving souls and all of the other stuff, but in the same breath, you're talking about people who maybe have not as good clothes on or something like that in the church, and you make fun of them, or you belittle other folks who maybe don't have it as well as you doing stuff. You're guilty of the same things that you're supposed to be sitting there getting, you know, some sort of, how can we say, clarification correctness about. And when he addressed these things in this song, a lot of stations, a lot of soul stations all up and down the Eastern Seaboard were getting calls from churches, in particular from pastors and reverends, saying, don't play this song. So it's like, wow, the consternation. You know, the guy's talking about something, and you know what they always say, if the truth hurts.
Yeah, and I mean, if you listen to Paul Kelly's other stuff, I mean, he had a pretty sweet, innocent approach to life and whatever. So I wouldn't say that he's God-hating or anything like that. He was just maybe questioning about everything. I mean, I can see that in Curtis Mayfield. James Brown stirred up a lot. To me today, I'm quite impressed that people in the soul music idiom stood up. Marvin Gaye, all the controversy, what's going on, brought about. I think this was a pretty cool thing, really, that these people, they were willing to take some flack for being heard and for stirring up some thought.
And for being different from speaking out of the norm, out of the collective thought that was supposed to be belonging to black people. The fact that people like Paul Kelly and James Brown, who was a Republican and all these other things, and you know, in the States, being a Republican, I guess it's like not being quite Reform Party here in this neck of Canada, but it's like you're very conservative. And it's like, it was just proof that the thought process of black people was not a monolith. And this carried us on, this carried on to the music as well, that, you know, there were definitely different trains of thought as to how they felt about certain things. And it wasn't this whole collective mindset that belonged to black folks.
Yeah, different musical forms were influencing each other. There was a sense of freedom at the time. We talked about, you know, the psychedelia, the Beatles in the last show, and other things that were going on. I mean, Laura Lee, it's not what you fall for, it's what you stand for.
Great title.
Yeah, it is, you know. I mean, it's kind of an overlooked, yet another overlooked track.
Gone, a mother's hurt and left alone. your dreams to better times and stand on up. Get on up. Hold your head high and get on up. Walk tall, girls. Get on up. It's not what you fall for, but it's what you stand for. You'll get your respect if you get on up.
From that time, I mean, there was just so much stuff going on in 71, 72, that only so much of it was getting heard, and it just shows you what a beautiful, productive time it was, mm-hmm. up until about 75, 76,
yes.
until the disco, and then the unfortunate demise, and great soul artists being forced to make crappy records, crappy production. Not all of them were junk.
Mm-hmm.
There was some quality disco, like Mainline and Black yeah. Ivory and some of the things. It was a little bit demeaning and insulting to the classical art form of the music, though, that only disco would sell.
When it came down to it, David, the record company people, the A&R folks were saying, we don't want to hear this stuff anymore. People want to dance, blah, 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 blah. And that's where it all went. Unfortunately, because it, from what we've heard so far, a lot of these songs being B-sides and album tracks, it was indicative of the time that you were going to put something in it anyway, so they were very accepting of it when it was there. But it got to a point where, again, A&R folks, very few of them who were hired because of whatever reasons they did to get there, and a lot of them not being anything because and not being anything having to do with knowing anything about music, ended up killing the goose, so to speak, and then saying, okay, well, we don't want any more of this stuff. Let's get people dancing. Let's make happy, upbeat stuff and all that stuff, and let's go away from this direction.
Now, let's speed up now into pretty well modern day. Now, here is a fellow, interestingly, who came from the hip-hop markets on the West Coast. Hip-hop was starting to develop after that first early 80s scene, the Sugar Hill Gang and all of that. By the late 80s, there was things happening all over. Honey Williams went off to Germany,
mm-hmm.
so, just like yourself. Here, I mean, he wanted to make thinking hip-hop with socially conscious kind of lyrics and this kind of thing. Yo Mama Records in Germany gave him his break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and yeah.
I mean, you could only get away with that in Germany. He couldn't say that in the States.
Yeah, Yo Mama Records. I mean, but here it is. Now, this is from his first album, which somehow never got really released worldwide and never really got heard. But check this out. Coming from the heart of the ghetto.
Hey, here we go now. The music with the rhyme. Check it out one time. This is not a rap song. This is just poetry with a tempo. Check it out. the valet. All I thought about when I was young was getting paid. Even though life around me was hard, I never got scarred when I walked down the boulevard. Keeping my head straight and up to date, and never be late for the man to call checkmate. 'Cause I ain't the one. Hey, I won't get done. Like my pop said, you gotta be a man, son. So I'm going and I'm jumping and I'm throwing and I'm letting everybody know my little bit of info. Act like you know, coming straight from the heart of the ghetto. Coming from the heart, coming from the heart, coming from the heart of the ghetto, yeah. Coming from the heart, coming from the heart, coming from the heart of the ghetto, yeah. Going to the next phase, that's the next rhyme. I gotta be on time 'cause I'm getting mine. I want success in the worst way because I love payday. So I say that I'll stay in effect and collect big checks. Having fat pockets is better than sex, but I do love sex and I love to flex it. So put me a cutie with back and I'll wreck it. But it's all about money, ain't a damn thing funny. You gotta have cash in this land of milk and honey, 'cause nothing's free, understand me. You gotta have dilly dilly dollars if you wanna come up. Knowledge is the answer to all your woes, and separate your friends from your foes, and don't trip brothers, act like you know. Coming from the heart of the ghetto,
coming from
85th and Figueroa,
coming from the
South
heart.
Central Los Angeles is where I come from. Here we go, now kick it.
Coming from the heart, coming from the heart, coming from the heart.
Something they didn't teach me in college, but I got the kind of knowledge that reigns supreme. Hey, I'm equal to any human being. That means I'm keeping myself in check and respect, and never neglect the chance to use my intellect. And I'm thanking the Lord every day for my flow. You know, coming from the heart of the ghetto.
Coming from the heart. Coming from the heart. Coming from the heart of the ghetto.
great Superfly album. That's Curtis Mayfield here on African Rhythms. I'm David Love Jones. My special guest this evening, Mike Ingram. Now, that's a well-known track, Mike. It really doesn't get much better than that for thinking music.
And
it's,
doubt,
you know, it's there's a strong message about the perils of drug and walking that perilous, dangerous side of life.
Everything about that, everything about the album and about the movie that it was the soundtrack for, just stupendous. I mean, it scared the heck. I think even Gordon Parks, when he put the thing together, he didn't realize what he had because we had touched on this in an earlier show. For years, they didn't want to show Superfly, not even an edited version of Superfly, because the drug and the anti-drug message was so strong, and it hit the theaters as hard as it did, and made a lot of money with very little fanfare. This was something that was really making people sit up and take notice. And although it didn't win an Oscar award like Shaft did, it was just as potent as far as being a message. Minded piece of music and just a message-minded project all along.
That film scares me. I mean, it's very powerful. Really, to have a songwriter of that caliber, you are not going to get a better example of a black soundtrack in the 70s. I mean, none of them. I mean, this song, every track was unbelievable. You know, there's no weak link amongst the ranks. It is a perfect album and one of the finest soul records ever, arguably one of the finest,
you know? Arguably one of the finest. And on this album as well, the track Pusher Man was another strong anti-drug track that got a lot of play on a lot of local stations, and it really led to a rise of much more awareness across the board about the evils of drugs, and there were a lot more things like halfway houses in the States coming up, places, drug treatment centers where people could go to deal with the whole thing, because it was in that time frame that people were going from, you know, the drinking the bottle of wine on the corner and smoking the joint to really getting into the hard stuff, into the heroin and the cocaine. And in that early part of the 70s, cocaine really started to become
glamorous.
The drug of choice.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was made glamorous, and it was starting to get out of hand right then in that early 70s.
I mean, I think people, they can really get sidetracked when they see the glamour and musicians doing it and stuff like that. I think heroin with the Nirvana crowd and this kind of thing, it can be pretty dangerous. You know, you need to find out the knowledge, see the different sides of it. We're not preaching, you know, we've been there and we've experienced and seen these things. It is something that you need to know something about. What a better way to hear about it than from a poet like Curtis Mayfield.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and another artist that we've been paying respect to in our socially conscious set, which is running a little over an hour, but what the heck? We've got to include this next track. This is Gil Scott-Heron, a wonderful track, one of my favorites, entitled Peace Go With You, Brother.
Common eyes all see the same. Now, more than ever, all the family must be together.
Peace go with you, brother. Though I ain't so proud anymore. Peace go with you, brother. Recognition don't come cheap anymore. You my lawyer, you my doctor, yeah, but somehow you forgot about me. And now when I see you, all I can say is peace. Peace to your brother.
Don't seem to matter much now, just what I say. Peace go with your brother. You the kind of man who think he got to have his own way. You my father, you my uncle and my cousin and my son. But sometimes, sometimes I wish you were none. But I manage to smile and I say, peace go with your brother.
Peace go with you, brother, Gil Scott-Heron. And I was just saying to Mike, Giles Peterson, the head of Talking Loud, the inventor of the term acid jazz, and he played that on Kiss FM in London during the Gulf War time, along with some other tracks like Harvest for the World, the Isley Brothers, was actually thrown off the radio.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, it was a political mic with a peace message during when they were trying to get everybody riled up for that little conflict with Saddam. That was that's pretty indicative of the fact that this isn't really the kind of music that's encouraged or whatever.
Well, see, we have to say this to all our soul lovers out there. You know, it's if you're not listening to the lyrics, something's missing. I mean, I appreciate that everybody digs the music and they really enjoy the different types of soul music that's out there. But, you know, the words really make the music, and if you're not paying attention to what the words are about and really don't want to hear them, then you're really missing the whole point of what soul music's about.
Yeah, and it's interesting in Japan, actually, that some of the tracks that they're getting into over there that have been on there, some of their free soul compilations, which is a movement. Free soul is like 70s kind of soul, free soul. It's socially conscious, this type of thing. So it's actually, they over there are reviving it. And I would say, like, right now, over in England, even Europe to some degree, that there isn't really the appreciation, even with our friends and voices, this isn't one of the priority areas. And so we'd certainly like to inspire them and to encourage them, because we think that it is all part of the greater picture.
No doubt.
Of the history of this music. A very important part, you might add.
No doubt. I certainly hope that our brethren over across the water take a second listen to some of this stuff and whatnot, and let it roll around in the gray matter and, you know, pick up on what's really happening here.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Brother, keep right. dreams, yeah. And the good will overcome the bad, and you'll find out what I mean. It's not as bad as it seems.
Once five boys who wanted to be robots. However, the powers that be forbade this, so they settled for being a band. That band is called Facts, and on Friday, April 13th, you can join them to celebrate the release of their new album, Like a Living Being. This album release party will feature guests, Synthcake, Gang Signs, and WinnieCooper.net DJ Tristan Orchard. Visuals are provided by Leaf Hall, and if you're interested in pre-sale tickets, just visit WinnieCooper.net/tickets. Facts, Like a Living Being album release party, Friday, April 13th at the Waldorf Hotel, proudly sponsored by CITR.
The alphabet has only 26 letters. With these 26 magic symbols, however, millions of words are written every day.
April and Discorder is here. Daffodils are blooming, cherry blossoms blossoming, and Discorder smells spring fresh off the presses. Check inside for monthly faves, The Overeducated Grumbler, on the topic of Dan Levy, getting textually active with rock stars, and news on the venues you know and love. Read up on the lovelies of Ruffled Feathers, Indigo Kids, and Dirty Spells, and figure out where to pick up hard copies of their stuff at your favorite local record store on Record Store Day. Reviews, calendars, charts, interviews, art projects, photos, write-ups, and teardowns, all that and more in your free April issue of Discorder. Pick up your beautiful and free copy of Discorder at any Friends of CITR business, or if you've gone paperless, don't forget to check out Discorder at discorder.ca. Discorder, that magazine from CITR, supporting local music for over 25 years.
101.9 FM, UBC Radio, CITR. And we're up here on the second floor of the Student Union Building, CITR.ca. You can listen in and podcast right there. And we're going to go back to 1997 on African Rhythms with my esteemed guest, Mike Ingram.
And that's Mel and Tim on Stax Recordings. And coming up on African Rhythms, we've got some Latin, soulful, funk sounds, more of the widest spectrum of what African Rhythms about. We've been playing a lot of soul lately, but it's such a wonderful and wide area. And that's a great example of early 70s Stax Recordings there, Mike.
Some of the stuff you were talking about in the last couple of shows, David, about how the Stax sound had become more sophisticated, but it kind of strayed away from its roots as far as like being the gut bucket, real church-based stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a very slick production and stuff. And although it was well done, it was, you know, something that seemed real obscure in comparison to some of the earlier Stax stuff.
Yeah, another example of a band starting all over again, big hit, but not really, a lot of songs never really got heard, and definitely a great example of sophisticated Stax sounds. I mean, it's a huge area. Here's another band we've been talking about in the last show, I believe, The Moments. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to play this at this particular time in the show, even though we're down into the last hour, where we kind of make things more funky and Latin and such. This Next Time I See You, it really seems to relate to modern times, and it's been sampled by hip-hop. They stood the test of time. They don't sound dated, Mike.
No, they don't sound dated, and that's something that transcended from the doo-wop bass, like you were talking about, into the 70s, where the groups became more sophisticated because of arrangements and things of that nature. And even when the kids started sampling that stuff, they realized where they could get their little bits from. It's just like building a house. You know, the foundation is torn up or it gets rotted. You rebuild it with some of the original stuff. And that's exactly what they did with these earlier hip-hop cuts, and this Moments track was excellent because the Moments were normally one of those ballad-type groups, and normally when a ballad-type group does those things, they like to stay in that neighborhood. But every now and then when they do a track that's a little more up-tempo or it's got a little more jump feel to it and stuff, it doesn't always work. But for the Moments, they were such a locked group, and knowing what they could do, it worked for them.
Yeah, the Moments are of utmost high in quality. And by the way, the track before the Mel and Tim, that was Kelly Patterson on Black Jazz Records, and the original of Magic Wand of Love, recently remade, by the way. But here it is, the Moments on Stang Records, a division of All Platinum Recordings. The Next Time I See You.
This record to bring you a special bulletin. Superfly is missing. We now take you to our on-the-spot reporter.
I have several witnesses here with me. Sir, when was the last time you saw Superfly?
It was the 3rd of September.
And you, sir, can you describe the suit Superfly was wearing?
Red, yellow, black, white, and brown.
And you, sir, who was the last person Superfly was seen with?
Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones.
If we need you for any further information, can we call you?
Whenever you call me, I'll be there.
We take you now to Washington.
We're here at the White House. The president has an important announcement regarding Superfly. Mr. President, what seems to be the problem?
I got ants in my pants and I need to dance.
Just arriving at the White House is the man that will risk his neck for brother man. Chair, now that the president has called you into the case, what will you be doing?
Chasing women and drinking.
Mr. President, what is your opinion of Chair?
This cat Chair is a bad.
Shut your mouth. I see the president and Chair have gone into the White House.
What they do?
Mr. President, What are you and Shaft doing in there?
Holding hands, making all kinds of plans.
Mr. President, why are you holding hands with Shaft?
Maybe I'm falling in love.
I've just been handed a bulletin. Superfly was last seen. We take you back to our on-the-spot reporter.
I'm here with Freddy, who we believe knows the whereabouts of Superfly. Excuse me, Freddy.
Ah!
Wait a minute. What happened?
It is dead.
Freddy's dead.
That's what I said.
Oh, well, I have several other witnesses. Do you know where Superfly is?
We know, they know, and you know and I know.
I don't know. How do you know?
Your best friend wasn't told me.
And just who is my best friend?
Superfly.
We'll be right back.
and you're listening to David Jones and Mike Ingram on African Rhythms. Mm-hmm. 101.9 FM, 822-CITR is the number here. Give us a call if you have any inquiries about the music tonight. Always glad to hear from you. And I love that early 70s soul jazz kind of feel, Mike. You know, there's some real nice cover versions back then.
Johnny Hammond, a beautiful translation of his idea of what was going on. And he later on, as we spoke on in the last show, Mizell's got a hold of him and whatnot, and he had some commercial success with his next piece, which included the track Los Conquistadores Chocolates.
Yeah, and Shifting Gears and Fantasy. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty fantastic album, and we'll be certainly featuring that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now why don't we get into a little bit of a Latin groove now and go down to Brazil and Marcos Valley.
All right.
Thank you. guy. Ordinary, ordinary guy. Afro-Filipino, average sort of guy. That's what I am. Ordinary man you left behind. Taxis take me downtown. My apartment is my home. I spend the weekend with my friends, otherwise I'm alone. Don't know much about psychology. My degrees are in streetology. Ordinary, ordinary guy. Afro-Filipino, average sort of guy. Salsa!
That, Mike, was an example of some of the African people that came via Cuba to New York, mixed with the different cultural happenings that were happening there. It's a beautiful statement for the common person and cultural diversity. Quite impressive, really.
Yes, sir. Nice little Latin connection there. Joe Patan. Joe Patan, great Puerto Rican based and New York based. New Yorican to you New Yorkers out there. Ordinary guy.
Yeah, that's a beautiful tune.
Beautiful tune, my brother. And I just have to say, out of all the shows, I really enjoyed this one the most. We really covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time.
Yeah, no, we certainly have. And we're going to continue on now. It has to be said, Mike, credits and respect goes out to another person who's passed away in the last year, Zachary Bro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was a real talent, and I never really got the recognition. So why don't we play a tune by him, Zachary Bro?
To all those that are departed, better days ahead.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
And a magical moment from Zachary Brough, sadly no longer with us. Mike, like you said, a wonderful show. I think we're moving in the right direction. We're just trying to show the wide world of African rhythms. I mean, yeah, largely, you know, largely in North America. Haven't got in some Thela like we want to or some other things yet. And we certainly will expand on the salsa, the New York scene, as well as Brazilian music and some of the other wonderful things. We'll have time for all of it,
so
Mike.
So much soul, so little time.
Yeah, that's about it. We've got a couple more tracks. I want to play this wonderful Rachel Farrell track, who in my mind is one of the great vocalists in recent times. And then we're going to end it with James D-Train Williams himself, a great cover of The Shadow of Your Smile.
Nice way to go. Take the D-Train on out, my brother. But in closing, I'd just like to say, as we've said the last couple of shows, if you want to know where the soul trees grow, the roots of all that encompasses it can be found right here on African Rhythms.
Sweet. And Mike, maybe you could just mention to about the basketball game coming up.
Yes, indeed. The Afro News is going to sponsor the first annual Slam Jam 98. And we're talking some good stuff here. It's a basketball tournament for a worthy cause, the Afro News, and it will run from February 14th and 15th of 1998. There's going to be a lot of competition, some good stuff, open divisions, over 35s for all the old guys out there who still think you got some game. For the students out here as well, within the sound of my voice, if you got game, and I mean if you got game, feel free to contact the Afro News, and there'll be more information forthcoming about this event.
Sweet, Mike. Okay, until next show, I'm David Love Jones. Peace and love.
Somewhere else.
coming up at the top of the hour is the Basement with Rats.
Real! Come